think you have her information.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and I have to tell you, I'm so excited. I actually am being heard this evening, and I am actually hearing that I'm being heard, which for the last several weeks has been a real issue for me on my show. And I have my co-host with me today, Jason Levanis. Hello, Jason.
Hello, my blue-eyed goddess. How the hell are you out there in the Washington State area?
It's a little windy and wet, but I'm good. And I'm even more ecstatic because I actually can hear you, and better yet, you can hear me.
Oh, my God. It sounds like you're next door. I mean, I don't know how many people are listening in at the moment from last week's show, but I wish I had had a video of the actual Skyping, because what people may or may not know is that while Janet is, you know, administering unto the populace, I am in the background Skyping with her, and she's in the background Skyping with me. And last week there was, no joke, an eight-second delay, and it was just, pardon the expression. And Janet, who never curses, Janet, who is always cool-headed, regardless of her Gemini status, you said, I wish I had taken a screenshot of my Skype. Truck drivers and sailors would have, like, had bulging eyeballs in shock if they had seen what she had written. I was trying to keep my stuff together. But you know what? We're a good team. We got through it. The last couple of minutes was me doing filler. But I am so glad that the technical part is ironed out at the moment. And so why don't I get all of our fun plug stuff out of the way in the beginning? Janet,
wait, Jason,
tell us
Jason,
all of your people.
Jason, hold on.
Yes.
Hold on, Jason. This is the funny thing, is that I just happened to find the running conversation that you and I had on Skype. It started with F Blog Talk, F Mercury, F Technology, F effing, F F F a effing duck, and then F it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was pissed. And I don't ever do that.
I think that was the point at which you just said fuck it and got off the radio, and I was trying to keep from laughing hysterically over the airwaves.
Yeah, it was quite the day. And you know what? So my insides went squishy this morning or this afternoon when I first came in, because the same thing started happening, right? You couldn't hear me.
Oh, no.
But I could hear you. So I luckily had come in like 10 minutes early. So I'm in the background talking to Blog Talk, and he was telling me how to get out of it and be able to get back into it again without ending the episode. And so luckily it all worked out, and here we are.
Fantastic. Well, I'm excited about your show because we get to finish up some of the stuff from last week, and then I have a lot of questions for you about retrogrades and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Because we have so many callers that are going to be waiting and such, can you please do me a favor? Tell all the people how they can get in touch with you for a reading, which is how we support ourselves. People don't know that. Okay.
So yes, Living Astrology is my website, and it is www.living-astrology.com. And on the site, of course, there's information about astrology and human design astrology. You can get yourself a free chart, and you can get a free human design chart. So all you have to do is go to the site. But what I would really love to do, because this is what I really love, today's show is all based on a question that this one person emailed me about different things to do with astrology. So I would love for you all to connect with me on Facebook on Living Astrology's Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/Living Astrology, or you can go to my name, Janet Hickox, and find me there. Ask me questions, because it stimulates my thinking about, like, what do people want to hear about as far as astrology? So today's show is called Astrology Hodgepodge, because there was just several different things that this person asked that I thought all of you would also want to hear about. And so besides going to my site and finding out about me, you can also find Jason, who is our leading tarot reader. And his website is www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. And Jason,
wonderful.
Have you set up a Facebook page yet or not? Are you still working on that?
You know, I haven't done the Facebook page yet. I have my web page up, and I've been tweaking it actually all day today, been cursing a little bit at the computer. But I really also, I have to steal a minute from you, Janet, and I have to give credit to where credit is due. Many of you really don't have any idea how hard this woman works for what it is that she does. She is easily the hardest working astrologist in the business. Between the Facebook page, between her actual website, between the readings that she does, between writing the shows that she does, between promoting the shows on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and Twitter, and all these other damn things, she's literally, she's busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger. And you must know that with the exception of her private readings, all of this is done gratis. So all of this work, folks, is done for you to keep you informed,
great,
to put back good into the universe. So you must know that this is a real labor of love on many levels. And I, for one, can't thank you enough because you've been a guiding light in my life. And anybody out there who hasn't gotten your human design yet done, get your asses in gear. Do it. It will help you make decisions going forward. So, Janet, I'm going to leave you because I have a lot of callers to screen. And I'm going to let you begin because I gotta go get people on the line, okay?
So thank you, Jason.
Right.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And thank you all, listeners. You know, without you, there really isn't a reason for me to have a show. So thank you so much for tuning in, for sending me your questions, for calling in for readings, etc. And we will attempt to get to some people for readings here today. But I'm going to take us back first because the last two shows were crazy because we were having sound challenges. But I'm pretty sure that I got the point across as far as what the major themes were for 2017. And then I got through, I think, the first 6 months of 2017. So now I want to talk to you about what the last few months of 2017 might be in the big scheme of things here. And that's because the biggest month of all, the whole year, let's say, comes in August, when we have this wonderful eclipse that is going to a solar eclipse that's going to be visible for the whole of the United States. And so people are, you know, sort of lining up already to go to the places in the United States, which starts at Oregon and moves all the way across the United States to be able to see the totality of this particular eclipse. And that actually happens on August 21st. So if people are interested, I would love to hear from you because I'm trying to maybe put out the energy for an organized trip to a town in Oregon called Madras, or M-A-D-R-A-S. It may be Madras. Who knows? But a get-together where we can all view the eclipse together and maybe have an astrology class or something while we're there. So stay tuned for that. But this particular eclipse is really exciting, and it's also very powerful because it is affecting the United States. It means that we're bringing it home personally. Now, just because other eclipses aren't necessarily always seen from the United States or seen in the part of the United States that you might live in, or the part of the world that you live in, you're still affected by the eclipses. But this one's going to be pretty powerful because every one of us that are listening here in the United States in some way, shape, or form will be affected by this across the Leo-Aquarius axis. So wherever that axis is in your chart is where you're going to see some game-changing energy. And I'm going to switch really quickly here. I'm going to try to find all this wonderful, you know, I had a moment, Jason, if you're listening, this week,
yes,
where
I
was organizing all my wonderful information on my desk, and I came across some really wonderful I know, I'm a mess some days, but I came across this really wonderful information that I had gotten from somewhere about the polarities in an astrology chart. And so this is perfect because an eclipse of this magnitude is going to bring up this polarity across the Leo-Aquarius axis. And so when we're dealing with, this is in August, August 21st, and it's a biggie.
Oh, okay.
And I think you were screening some callers when I was saying, hey, let's all get together in Oregon, August 21st, and be able to see the whole of this eclipse from start to finish and get together and do some kind of a astrology, you know, workshop or something. So I told people to be looking for information on that in the upcoming future. So the
it's a lunar or it's a solar?
Solar. So this is a powerful one, very powerful,
okay.
And it's a total solar eclipse. So that means the whole sun will be darkened, right? So it'll be like nighttime suddenly, or, you know, certainly twilight time during the eclipse. And so it'll be really interesting. And this is across Leo and Aquarius, which is really the creativity piece of the chart as well as the leadership piece of the chart. And so this eclipse happens right after the nodes move into the Leo-Aquarius axis. So we'll all be dealing with how are we going to create our future? How are we going to create our lives? How are you going to express your gifts and your talents out in the world? And let me tell you, people, if you're not expressing your gifts and talents in a real way at this point in time, this eclipse will come along and help you rearrange your life. And I'm saying that nicely, help you rearrange your life, i.e. crash and burn whatever you've been doing in order to be more in alignment with what, with what you should be doing.
For all of you out there who don't fucking speak Janet, that was her very good cop. Her very gentle way of saying, you had better get your shit in a pile and fast, because the immediate changes that are about to occur during that time are going to make your head spin so fast you won't even know your name. So there's a translator for you folks.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's my Jason
that's
translator.
Funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But two other wildly interesting things happen as well in August, and that is just before this particular eclipse, the planet Uranus turns retrograde, and 10 days later, Mercury turns retrograde. So we have both the planets that truly are involved in our lower mind, our thinking, and in our higher mind or our perception of spirit, both in retrograde motion, meaning turning us inward at the same time this major eclipse is happening. And a few days after the eclipse, Saturn turns back from retrograde into direct motion. So we have a dance of planets going on. And so we have some internal thinking issues that we're probably going to have to deal with. Boom, the eclipse happens and gives us the opportunity to redirect some energies in our life. Then Saturn turns direct. And Saturn is about form and structure, and he is teaching us the last bits of lessons around Sagittarius energies, our beliefs. In fact, what if you had a belief that you couldn't express yourself creatively in the world, Jason? Do you think that you would be doing what you love or that you would be doing what you're really good at?
Absolutely
probably not.
Right? I mean, no,
yeah.
Absolutely not.
So Saturn turning direct right after
You would feel as if your soul was being squashed, your spirit was being stifled.
Yeah, exactly. So Saturn turning direct right after Leo, the Leo-Aquarius eclipse, allowing us to maybe redevelop a form or a structure in our life that would support our new ability to get in alignment with our creativity. And we'll be talking more and more about this as it comes up because, you know, we'll be at the end of the Saturn in Sagittarius transit. So what we will be looking at during those last couple of months is the form our beliefs have taken and how can we redirect energies of beliefs by allowing our minds to become more free. So that's kind of a preview of August. So expect August to be an extraordinary month, right? Because that's just kind of what the energy is looking like. As we get to September, Mercury returns direct and Pluto turns direct. And so that'll be interesting. Interesting for me personally, and you know, I don't usually share too much personal information, but in, let's see, May or June, I actually have a destiny return at 28 degrees Leo. And then in September, Mercury goes direct at 28 degrees Leo. So it makes me wonder what new message I will be delivering to all you fine folks at that point in time, because this is going to be very personally effective.
Educate some of us. What do you, when you, I've never heard you speak of this before, but then again, I, you know, I'm certainly not as well versed. When you say a destiny return, what does that
right.
mean?
So destiny is represented in our charts by the North Node. So it is kind of like your life path trajectory. So the North Node is one half of an axis that is the gifts and talents characterized by the South Node that you brought with you into this lifetime, and how you pour those out in this lifetime has to be moved in a direction of your destiny, which is in the North Node. And my North Node sits right at 28 degrees Leo, which is where that Mercury is turning direct. And just months before that, like in June, I will have been hit with that return, where the North Node will come back to the same place it was when I was born, which means a new 19 and a half year cycle of growth in some way. So, or of really, you know, focusing in on what my destiny is or my life path trajectory. So it should be really interesting personally, but I guarantee you, if I'm going through something personally, then it's also going to be something that in this case will pour outward onto my audience and to my clients and to people that I know and love, and it should be an interesting time.
And your husband.
So, as we... Yes, my husband.
Good.
By the way, did you know,
Carrie.
I don't know if I've ever told you this. Do you realize that in April he and I will have been married 35 years? 35
But you know
years.
What? That's, you know what?
More
my
than
parents
half my life.
Got divorced. My parents got divorced after 37, so there's still hope yet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm in it for life. So,
I know you are.
As we get through September, which this year is mild compared to past Septembers, we move into October, which is even more mild compared to this past October. Jupiter is going to make a sign change. Now, you know, we've been working with Jupiter in Libra all this year, talking about relationships and how
we can
collaborate and cooperate and build co-creatively and what have you. Well, Jupiter moves out of Libra at that time and into Scorpio. So we're going to have a new sense of how we're going to grow, and it's going to take on a more intense, passionate, and possibly even deep and understanding of perhaps some of the more esoteric things going on in our world. So that's going to be, I'm actually looking forward to that one. And then December,
really?
nothing exciting happening in November apparently, but in December we have Mercury RX again, or retrograde, once more time, in Sagittarius this time, and Saturn on the 20th of December makes its move out of Sagittarius and into Capricorn, your favorite sign, and it'll be the first time in 29 years or 28 and a half years that Saturn has been in that sign. So that should be really interesting. And, of course, as we get closer to that time of the year, we'll start talking about what that may mean for all of us. Because everybody that's around my age, meaning born in 60, 61-ish, 62-ish, you probably have Saturn in Capricorn by birth. So you're looking at heading into what will be your second Saturn return. So it could be fun and interesting, although that won't happen till toward the end of the transit. But those of you maybe born in 59 and 60 will have that transit a little bit earlier. So we have wonderful things to look forward to in 2017. And we will be with you, holding your hands all the way through it, talking to you about what may happen before it happens, and also helping you get through it personally, as some of, it's hard sometimes to tell by how it's going to affect the masses, how it's going to affect you as an individual. So we can only do that by looking at your charts. And we hope you'll keep tuning in here to Living Astrology and to Titillating Tarot to find out how these things will affect your life. So, great finish. Now, I want to say something really interesting here. I get relatively few questions asked of me, except in the context maybe of someone who's having a reading. I'm inviting all of you to send me all of your astrological questions. I don't care what it is. I don't even care if it's personal to you. Because then I can take that and I can turn that into a radio show where we can enlighten everybody about, because if you're curious about it, or Jason, if you're curious about it even, chances are other people are curious about it as well. Now,
yes, and I have only one caveat to that. Please, please, please do not contact Janet and ask her when you're going to get married. That's our personal inside joke. It seems as metaphysicians and psychics, it's the number one, you know, on the hit list of women. When am I going to get married?
I know, but hey, I have a better way to phrase that. What if you phrased it like this? What are the indicators of marriage in an astrology chart, right? That's a great question. Okay. Other people can get involved with that question too, and we can talk about that. In fact, I think that question is even more interesting if we view it through human design, because ultimately marriage and relationship is all
about... We can do something around... Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. Sorry, we're talking over each other. Finish up. I'm so sorry.
No, I was going to say, because ultimately relationships and marriage included are all about the magnetic attraction that we have for one another. So that would be kind of fun to talk about, you know, in a bigger way.
Maybe we can do something right before Valentine's Day. We'll just do one show on marriage and how it plays into the chart.
Oh, I love that. Let's do that. I'm writing that down even as we speak. February, marriage indicators in a chart. Got it.
So before you get on to your retrograde, can I ask you an off-the-cuff question? And you might be like, Jason, there's nothing going on, no way, no how. But if you were to look up in the sky right now, Janet, and you were to tell me about the temperature and or the heavy hitters right now that are happening for tomorrow's inauguration, you'd say, Jason, this is what I got for you.
Good question, because, you know, I've not really looked at the chart for the inauguration. However, I want to say a couple of possibilities, because there are some possibilities. One, the sun moved into the sign of Aquarius today, and, you know, about midnight, universal time, so I don't know what time that is where you live, but the sun has already made its move into Aquarius, so we're already looking at the potential of something new and exciting, possibly revolutionary, maybe something that allows us to see what we can take from the past and build on to make a brighter future, although that isn't the only thing happening. Of course, we have a lot of energy Pisces, and we're going to be talking, hopefully if we have time today, we may not, of other energies right now in Pisces. We have Venus in Pisces, Mars in Pisces. We have the Chiron in Pisces. We have Neptune in Pisces. So it's forming what we call a stellium of planets in that sign. That means there's a lot of focus on Piscean energies. So when you think of Pisces as the sign, it's very much a sign of duality. It's the two fishes, one swimming in the conscious and one swimming in the unconscious. And it's kind of unsure, kind of like it is with which twin are you going to get with us Geminis, as to where we're going to be tomorrow, right? Are we going to be swimming through the unconscious? Or are we going to try to swim through the conscious? And I was kind of reading through Facebook today going, what are people saying about it? And I think there's sort of a calm, even though there's probably demonstrations and marches and things like that are going to be there. But I think people are relatively calm and looking at, well, what does all this mean? You know, I don't think there's a temperature that's hot or cold. I think it's just warm at this point. And yet I feel like there's this undercurrent of rebellion and revolution that's just like a snake coiled up waiting to strike. And for the moment, calm. But I swear to you that all Trump is going to have to do is one backward step, and it's going to create an opening for a fiasco, you know, for open rebellion, for a revolution of sorts. But I think it's going to be one of those things that's not going to happen overnight. I think there are going to be things revealed. And I'm telling you people now, it's going to be something that happens probably when Jupiter goes into Scorpio. And that's not until October. but somewhere late September, October, maybe November, watch for something big that's going to be revealed or something secretive that comes out that you didn't know about. So slow burn, temperature kind of cool to warm. You know, there's women marching, and I'm sure there are other marches planned. But for the most part, I don't see anything out of control tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Perfect. Okay, so where were we headed? We were going to, let's see here. I'm going to take a look.
Yes.
I probably do a reading. I've got about 34 minutes left. So why don't we take somebody now? Let's try
Wonderful.
Leah, because
I have her
chart up.
I'm going to bring Leah in for you right now.
Okay,
hiya,
thank
Leah.
You.
You're live on the line with Janet.
Hi, Janet. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm great. How are you doing, Leah?
I'm okay. I've actually spoken to you before.
Okay. You must have, because I had your chart in my program.
A while back.
What's your question about?
What is my question about? Oh, no. I need to pick one question. So
interested in this.
Struggling with a bunch of things. I'm just struggling in general, not with my kids or my husband, just my own personal self.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I am a Pisces. I was gonna ask you actually, when am I gonna get married? Just to joke around, but I'm already married. But, I won't ask you that. And I'm a potty mouth like Jason. But
I'm just
struggling. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm just struggling. With different things.
Okay,
you know.
Well, you are not struggling for naught, honey. You are not struggling for naught. I'll tell you what the big thing is that's going on in your chart. And that is, as of right now, this moment, the planet Jupiter, which always represents how we're going to grow, how we're going to evolve, is transiting through your 12th house of the hidden, the secret, the self-sabotage, the limits, the beliefs that keep us, down. And it's on top of your natal Pluto. So Pluto in the 12th house... Here's how I like to think of Pluto in the 12th house. Deep within you is housed a master, someone who has very deeply held esoteric beliefs or esoteric knowledge. But it's hidden from you, right? It's hidden from you. So Pluto sitting here ensures that at some point you're going to have to bring out that hidden information. So when I say a hidden master, what I'm thinking of is like a lifetime perhaps where, in Egypt, I'm just pulling this out of a hat. So, I don't know any of this to be true. But let's say that you were a priest or a priestess and you had access to, very powerful knowledge. And in this lifetime, it's buried in the depths of your unconscious mind. So a good chunk of your life, Leah, is about uncovering that ancient knowledge or that truth, the ancient truth. So when Jupiter sits on top of Pluto, then what's going to happen is you're going to see places where you're not in alignment with those bigger truths. So life can be crises. It can be interesting trauma dramas. It can be beautiful, wonderful things happening out of the blue that you don't, didn't expect.
Oh my God!
But
yes.
Like I said, it's not all for naught. There's a purpose here to this, and it's about digging deep within you and pulling out that magical connection that you may have had in past lifetimes. Jason, did you pull a card for her on that?
While she was talking, I pulled some cards, and I was just interested to see what you had to say. I ended up actually pulling four cards because the reading is a little confusing. And that you don't generally hear me say that as feedback.
Good.
In the immediate past, I have the Prince of Wands, which shows that you're uncomfortable right now. You're not completely on fire. He's just got these little pieces of fire that are burning him up, and his hands are kind of in the air, like what the fuck? I really am trying people here. I'm really trying to do something, but it's a card in the past that says, I'm feeling a little defeated, and I don't know exactly what to do about it. So that is in the past for you, Leah. Right now, interestingly enough, I if you had listened to last week's show, you'll see that I did a show on the Lovers. And the Lovers is the sixth card, and it's a male-female card. And so the long and the short of it is I want you to focus on your husband going forward. And I want you to focus on really supporting that situation with him. It's going to help you open up yourself because the Four of Wands is ahead of you, which shows that you're going to reap the benefits of it. So use your husband as a tool to stay focused and on your game. Does that make any?
I'm really like starting to cry, but not for happy reasons. You know, I've worked all my life. So I'm 13. I'm gonna be 37. Oh my god. And not that it's old, but it's two babies. And yes, my life has definitely changed a lot. Like everything that you guys both said just now has touched me so much, and I just feel like, sometimes I want to give up and stop following my husband and stop doing what I want to
do
and go back to where I belong. But I won't.
No, don't give up. No, don't do it. Jason, were you complete with what you were going to say to her?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry
for crying. Leah, I want you to stay on the line for a minute because something extraordinary I noticed in your chart as we were getting ready to talk, and that is this. My show today, the next pieces of information we were going to talk about were Mars being in retrograde motion in a natal chart and the 29th degree in a chart, because these were questions that were thrown at me today from a person that emailed me.
Yeah,
and you
that
happen
awesome.
To have both of those things in your chart, right? Your natal Mars is in retrograde motion by birth, and you have your destiny, the North Node, in the exact same place mine is, and except yours is at the 29th degree, mine's at the 28th degree. So you're like the perfect model to have called this afternoon. And so let's talk about this. And I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to keep your line open so I can show you how that's working out in your own life as I talk about it in
absolutely.
General terms.
Please.
Is that good?
I've never been, this is like the best,
And
here.
Jason, if we get too much feedback or noise, feel free to mute her, but, you know, we'll bring her in if I need to talk to her again. So here's the
wonderful.
Really encouraging thing. Is that when someone shows up in my life with a chart like this, then we are going to have an honest discussion about some of the challenges that are presented in this lifetime. So first thing, astrologers will tell you about the 29th degree, or the zero degree in some respects is also like this, but particularly the 29th degree is it is challenging and it is crisis oriented. Now, I would not normally use terms like that because I would not want you to assume right away that that means hope is gone, that your life is doomed in some respects.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
But here's what some of the issues are when this happens to someone, is that they have problems making decisions, right? Because here's how I want everybody to look at the 29th degree of any sign. It doesn't matter what sign it is. You are at the end of a 29 of literally 30 degrees worth of the energy of a sign. And so in reality, it's almost like you're standing there before you leave that sign to look back over the past experiences you've had, what you've learned from this sign. Now, this is going on unconsciously. You're not necessarily saying, let me look back over.
Yeah,
let's see for you.
Yeah,
it's 29 degrees, Leo. So you're not necessarily looking back going, But it does mean that in some ways you're personifying the more negative aspects, if you will, of that sign. Not to be cruel and to punish you, but to make sure you've learned all the lessons before you move on into the next sign. So it can be a lifetime then, or a sign and its placement, of some issues that are going to come up. And sometimes in this case, you may think that things should go one way. Like you've got all this planned out in your head how it should go.
Yeah.
And then it all blows up in your face because you make a decision to do something exactly different. And then later you're going, but that didn't work out the way I thought. And in a way, the 29th degree also creates a sense of urgency in one's life in the area in which it is. For you, this is in your career sector, by the way, which is also the place in your chart where you claim your authority in the world. right? You express your authentic self. So there's a sense of urgency here for you to really get clear on who you are, but you might be making poor choices, right? Or you may have difficulties in getting done what you want to get done. And then you may overcompensate in some ways to make up for what you feel are your failings or your losses. So the 29th degree can create some of this havoc for you, but not again to punish you, but because it's sort of now, it's like taking a final, you know, in a chemistry final, right? You've got, now the teacher's going to throw at you everything you learned from the whole quarter, not just what you learned in the last week.
Yep.
So you're getting all of the lessons, you know, and looking at all of this energy. And in this case, it's about what are you creating for yourself, right? How are you living the life you love as opposed to what you feel like you have to do? That's your big lesson here, and that's what you're creating, all right? So for all of you out there listening who have this issue, a 29th degree in whatever sign it is, these are some of the general things you're looking at. And then with the sign, we can tell you, okay, so it's the flavor of this, and in the house, it's going to be about this. And for you, Leah, since I have you on the phone, the only thing you have at the 29th degree is your destiny, but that's a biggie, right? That's a lifelong trajectory. Of learning. It's not like Mercury where it's going to come and go. It's going to come and go, come and go.
I'm very intact with all that. Like, I am a big believer. I think sometimes I'm very spiritual. Whatever my spiritual choice is or my whatever is, I'm very spiritual and I'm very in touch with, like, all that stuff. And, I mean, you hit on everything. Like, you hit on literally everything. Like, I moved to Arkansas from New Jersey. Almost a year ago. I have a 4.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. My mother has cancer. She lives in New Jersey. All my family's in New Jersey. Do I ever want to go back? No. Would I like to be able to go back? Yes. I taught special ed for 15 years. I have a master's in counseling. I want to go back to work because that's my passion besides my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a substance abuse problem. So, you know, there's a lot of on and off. There's also I can't even say how much that was, like, hit me in the ass and hit the fucking nail on the head, in Jason's words. That was wonderful.
And there's more. It's not like I'm even done, right? Because the next thing I was going to talk about with everybody today, I cannot even believe this. It's just, like, surreal to me that this is happening. The next thing I was going to talk to everybody about today was...
I'm going to cry. I don't need to cry anymore, okay?
No. You're just personifying... In your chart personifies just about everything I was going to talk about, which is hysterical because that's never happened to me before. So it's why I brought you here. So the critical degrees in astrology are based kind of on... the signs. So, and we group the signs like in the fixed signs or mutable signs and cardinal signs, that kind of thing. And that's the quality of that sign. So in your case, you have your natal Mars retrograde at 4 degrees of Virgo and Jupiter retrograde at 4 degrees of Virgo. And this is in your natal chart. Well, 4 degrees of Virgo happens to be a critical degree. So in that case, this is much emphasized energy in your chart. And guess what it's all about? Becoming whole, becoming healed, becoming healthy, becoming connected. So you have some real positive energies that are being emphasized here that make you, one, more sensitive, two, that give you some really incredible power. You just have to tap into it. So don't sell yourself short, Leah, ever, because you've got some really positive energy here kind of lying in wait. Like I said about Pluto in your 12th house, the master that's hidden from you, it's just lying there ready for you to grab it and run with it. So very positive. But again, I mean, who knew I was going to, you know, come up with someone that has this. Now, let's talk about Mars retrograde, because that's the other piece here. Another question that was asked of me, this poor guy who asked this question isn't even on the show or isn't even called in. He's probably going to listen to the recording and hear this. So when Mars is retrograde, it brings up some really interesting things because Mars is a planet of action. right?
Like
it's assertive. It's masculine energy.
I love how Jason laughs in the background. I love him. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll get a kick out of this one. Because
he's a friend
in
of
this.
Mine.
So with Mars, it's about how are our masculine energies being expressed. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, we all have masculine energies, and the masculine energies are basically how do we go forward? You know, what's our dynamic motion looking like? When Mars is turned backwards or is turned inward, if we will, the cultural norms are reversed. So in men, for example, this can translate into not wanting to be the typical male, like not necessarily being involved in things that we consider masculine, like, you know, competing in sports or, you know, hanging out with the guys. You know, maybe they're more, you know, they're generally more inwardly aggressive than outwardly aggressive. And in some cases, even their sexuality then is turned into a different direction, right? I'm not making this a blanket statement by any means, but sometimes Mars retrograde can point to someone who is gay or lesbian or, you know, in some way alters their sexuality. So when we are women and we have Mars retrograde, which, by the way, Mars for women is also the kind of man you're attracted to. So in this case, your attraction to men is really about healing ability. How can you heal through?
Yes.
How can he help you heal?
Yes.
So it was really interesting to hear Jason's card, you know, that he pulled about that. Or I'm not sure if that was a card or a observation
it was,
you were making.
It was.
Yeah. So what you can look at for yourself is internalized rebellion. And I'm going to leave it at that for a moment, because the other point that I'd like to make for you as a Pisces, and I think I heard you say substance abuse had been a problem or is a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you said. So I want you to understand, that as a Pisces, substance abuse comes when the real world is hard to face, because there's this ideal, you know, things should work like this. Right? Everybody should be loving and kind and generous and peaceful and compassionate and sensitive and loving and generous. And,
well, that's how I feel. I feel like everybody should be loving and compassionate and sensitive and
Yes, but then the real world shows you what? Right? Then the real world shows you harshness.
Not everyone's
like
that.
There you go. And so then Pisces, with your sensitivity, often tries to escape the pain of that reality. And that usually takes the form of some kind of drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, or, you know, something that you can use as an escape mechanism. So
yeah.
I want you to understand that your path forward then is to that internalized rebellion being exchanged from rebellion into connecting to yourself holistically. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes so much sense.
Okay, great. So thank you so much for letting me use you as a guinea pig in the model for some of the information that we were talking about here today.
Thank you. That was beyond what I needed. That was fantastic. And thank you, Jason.
My pleasure, baby. I'm going to put you back into the queue now. And Janet, why don't you tell me, would you like to take another? You have about 15 minutes left for your show. Do you want to take another caller, or do you want to jump into more content and we'll continue content next week? How would you like to rock and roll?
Well, first of all, I'm sure you're dying to have to ask a question, aren't you?
Me?
Or are you? Maybe you're not. Maybe you understood everything I was saying.
No, I understood everything you're saying. I'm going to go back to Leah if you take someone else and give her some more information, a little bit about this Pisces issue and the substance abuse issue, because there's a lot to be said for it that is in addition to what you brought to the surface.
Nice. Well, why don't you bring in Cassildra, and let's see how she's doing.
I will absolutely do that.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Janet, I have Cassildra on the line for you now.
Hi,
yes,
Cassildra. Are you there?
Janet. Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. And especially since people can hear me tonight. I mean, I can't tell you how frustrating it is to not be heard when you have something exciting you want to say to someone.
Yes, I totally agree.
Oh, my dear. Perhaps I had done a reading for you in the past, but I have not. I don't have you in my program, so I'm entering you in to the program even as we speak. So why don't you give me a little bit of quick background on yourself and what's going on in your life and how I can help you?
Well, I am in Denver right now. I don't even know where to begin. I'm such a loving person.
I'm going to pull your chart up right this second because
yeah,
I just got it.
Yeah, going to tell it all.
Yeah, then I'm going to be able to see what the heck is going on. Now, you have this wonderful accent, Cassildra. Where are you from?
I am from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. So you grew up there kind of. Whoa. I see your chart. You were born in one of those years. Great. Isn't that fun? Where all the planets were sort of congregated on one half of the chart and at the other half of the chart. So it forms kind of like this, picture a seesaw, right, where, you know, you can teeter and totter with, you know, you've got a bulk of planets on one side and a bulk on the other, and depending by transits what's going on, either side could be triggered. The biggest issue that you may be experiencing right now is possibly or will become, or let's look at it this way. It's probably been something from the past, maybe issues around self-worth or how you value yourself, which then translates into issues around prosperity and abundance or money, literally money. Has that been an issue for you?
Yes, yes.
And
has it been able
to be worked out, or are you still struggling with that? Or
I believe I'm coming to a closing.
And I believe you. You know why I believe you? Because what I saw going on in your second house was the transiting north node, which is your destiny. And whatever house it happens to be going through and whatever sign it happens to be going through, it throws a lot of emphasis into it. And it was moving through your second house. But today is probably the very last day it's going to be there. And now it moves into your first house, which says, now how do I strengthen me? How do I become more self-centered, which is not a bad word, by the way. Any of you out there who have been listening to my shows, you know I think that being self-centered is the most important thing that you can be, the most important gift you can give to yourself, because it is only when you are acting on your own behalf, not in a selfish way, but in a centered way, that you actually have more to give to others. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Very cool. So when I look at this now, what I see is that you've probably struggled with issues of self-worth and how do I value myself in the world? And now it's going to go to how do I strengthen myself so I don't have to deal with that anymore, right? What lessons have I learned and where am I taking that? Jason, do you want to chime in on that?
I totally agree.
Good. I can't see him. Oh, he's talking to someone. So let me go on.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Now here's one of the other big lessons you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to get this one out because it's related. And that is, am I having fun in my life? Is my life, am I creating a life of my dreams, or am I just surviving? Am I thriving, or am I just surviving? Which are you doing, Cassildra?
Right now, I am surviving, but I feel like I'm finna get to thriving.
Awesome.
Yes.
Because, you know, the last few years for you probably haven't been all that easy as Saturn was transiting. When Saturn transited through Libra, Scorpio, and now Sagittarius, it was hitting about 80% of the planets in your chart. So for the last pretty much 6 or 7 years, this has been a tough road for you. And it's probably, you know, and because Saturn is the planet that brings us to lessons. What are we learning? What are we here to learn? And as such, it is punishment and reward. Great, right? Saturn's like the great father who lovingly is, you know, giving you that swat in the behind to get you on the right path, not to really harm you, but sometimes we're stubborn, right? Sometimes we're like, needing the house to be dropped on our heads before we learn the lesson. And Jason, if you laugh, I'm going to kick your butt because he thinks I'm stubborn. He's probably laughing because he thinks I'm stubborn. But we as humanity, we tend to have to learn lessons kind of by, you know, being hit over the head a few times. Well, Cassildra, you've been hit over the head several times, and you're coming out of that. The next 7 to 8 months for you are going to be an ending of some of the struggles you've had over the previous 6 and 7 years. So you're coming out of the darkness a bit and moving into the light. Now, what I want to make sure you do is that you leave this time period in your life with happiness, with joy, with having discovered some truths about yourself, because the next place Saturn goes is into your health house. So the next thing you don't need,
is
having health issues.
Not at all.
Right?
Already. Yeah,
right.
Indeed.
So learn your lessons. Don't let Saturn issues have to turn into putting you in bed for 3 months so that you can learn the lesson. So what are the lessons that you've been learning? And take those and move forward, right? Learn your lessons. You're also, let's see, how old did you just tell me you were?
I turned 40.
Looks like you turned 40, so you're coming into your midlife redirect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your midlife crisis, I don't like to call it that. Actually, you are, yours is going to be a little bit later. You and me need to talk probably in October. Make a mental note to yourself. Call the radio show in October or find me in October, because you're going to be moving into what is one of the most highly energetic and crucial times of your life as you get closer to the new year of next year. So we're going to want to talk about this, and this is the midlife redirect, which can be, it's almost comical if you look, you know, from my age now, as I look back at my early 40s like that, I can kind of laugh at the person that, you know, packed her bags and ran away from 4 kids and a husband and the dogs and, you know, the job and everything. I just literally packed my bags and walked away, sort of, you know, coming back a day or two later. But it was a crisis like that that shook me up, but what it did was wake me up to the metaphysical or spiritual component of my life that I was meant to get on. So we go through that, and now it doesn't have to be like that. It could be something else. But, you know, now I look back and laugh. Then it was horrible. But what happens is, you guys, at 40 to 42, we have to get in alignment with what is true for us. We can't pussyfoot around anymore. Right, if you're supposed to be on a path of spirituality, or let's see if I could pick something out for you, a path of communication.
That's what I was about to ask, too. What is my metaphysical? What is my metaphysical path? I need to know it.
A lot of your metaphysical path is on the verge of about issues around putting down roots, building a strong, solid foundation beneath you. Being a mother in some cases, being a caretaker, a giver, a nurturer. We'll have to talk more about that piece because I know I'm running out of time. Jason's probably screaming at me in the background.
No, you're doing exactly what you should be. I think it's important for people to know that you're not a fly-by-night astrologist and that you're doing this person justice. I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's fantastic because it makes all the sense in the world. I'm not going to go into the cards I pulled because everything you said are in the cards that I pulled. The only addendum I would have to it, you know, the only addendum I'd have to it is, Cassildra, are you in a relationship right now?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to know that going forward, that's going to get juicier and better and sexier and more intimate and more fun. And the more you focus on, the more you get out of your way and the more you focus, it seems to be a running theme today with Leah and yourself, the more you focus on this individual, this love of yours, the more you're going to be learning about yourself. And, you know, you ask, ooh, what is my metaphysical, you know, lesson? One of the greatest, one, not the only, but one of the greatest metaphysical lessons, and I think Janet will stand by me because she's been with the same person for 35 fucking years, is how you grow as a spirit. How you grow in it, how it is that you're growing within and around this relationship, because it's through this heart chakra, this Buddha chakra, this Jesus chakra, that we open up, that we love ourselves, that we love each other. And so, to be perfectly frank, your metaphysical journey is all about love. It's not, oh, am I going to sit down and drink bitter herbs and, you know, eat bitter herbs and sit in a lotus position on a mountain somewhere. No, fuck that. You are going to be all about the mother of love. So when I heard her say mother, I thought, yeah, mama, absolutely. You love this man you're with. You focus on him and the love between you, and I promise you, you will take off like gangbusters.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Great. That's great. And I just want to add to that, because what would have come out of my mouth about that is that you're in a highly romantic period of time with the ability to create love and romance. You know, from now, I mean, you should be giving as good as you're receiving here in terms of romance. So light some fires. Get some fires.
Yes.
It's all Sagittarius fire energy. So let's move some, you know, let's move some passion through your relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right, my dear.
Make a whole lot of sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, you are most welcome. Take care.
Take
care. Good luck to you. You too. Bye now. All right.
All right,
Jenna,
I have put her back in the queue. You have about 4 minutes. Do you want to talk about Pisces? Do you want to talk? Tell me what you want to do.
Oh, tell me what you want to do. Let's see here. Let's
do
talk about
what I want to do.
Yeah, I was trying to make that into a song, but it isn't going to work.
Okay. Well, the fact of the matter is I know that we still have a bunch more information to get through, so maybe we'll pick up again next week. I think it's great because your shows are becoming deeper and deeper and more important. Every time I hear them, it's like, oh, God, we hardly have the time to get through what we get through. So at the risk of waxing redundant, what would you like to do for the next couple minutes?
Well, here's what I would like to do, because a lot of the same people that I love it. People are already emailing me questions. I love it. You guys are so much I love my listeners. I'm already getting questions running into my into my email box. Okay, but what I wanted to say is one of the last questions the gentleman that emailed me asked was about Chiron in Pisces. And so, again, that goes to those of us who were born in the 60s, about a seven-year span. So you, me, anybody born, let's say, like 1960 to 1968-ish, had Chiron transiting through Pisces. And, of course, at the time that we were born, Chiron had not been discovered yet. So every single one of us in the 60s did not experience the wounding necessarily, or at least not in the consciousness, until we were in our teens, or in my case, because I was born in 61, I think I was 17. You would have been more like 10 or 11. So a little bit younger. And the people in between, of course, so we're saying maybe a span of from, you know, ages 10 to 17 is when Chiron was discovered for all of us, and the wounding point occurred for you at that time. In my case, well, let's talk about what is the wound in Chiron, or the wound Chiron is in Pisces, and it's about learning about the higher powers, right, about God, or source, or universal mind, whatever it is. And then the challenge is for us to learn how to surrender to that higher process. And I think what I'm going to do, because I just heard my warning that I only have 90 seconds left, is that I'm going to turn this little conversation into a show, because there's quite a number of people who are dealing with this. And on top of that, Chiron is transiting through Pisces. So even if you did not have it there when you were born, you're experiencing this now. So we're going to deal with that maybe next week, Chiron and Pisces. And, you know, some people just don't realize what Chiron is all about. All right.
I didn't before meeting you.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we need to understand, and when we it brings us a measure of peace and calm in our lives, that, you know, we're not being the recipient of a lot of crap in our lives. You know, there's no one above shitting on our heads all the time. That there's a purpose to it. Yes, folks, I said shitting. Okay. So,
tell everybody quickly before we go off the air that there is a pink button on Blog Talk Radio where they can follow us, so that Blog Talk will actually send them alerts about our show.
Absolutely. So you go to blogtalkradio.com/livingastrology, And there's a pink button that says follow, and you click on that, and you will become a person that gets notified of all the different shows both Jason and I are doing. In the meantime, Jason, thank you so much. This has been a fun day, a fun show. I'm so glad to be heard. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you for being patient and listening even through other people's readings. Leah and Cassildra, thank you for being guinea pigs. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a stellar week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Living Astrology and also Empower You Media. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye for now. Have a stellar week.